Believe series, chapter number 8 in the book. The chapter's entitled Offering My Time. Our key question there is, how do I best use my time to serve God and others? Our key idea is, I offer my time to fulfill God's purposes. And our key verse is Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, that kind of covers it. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So today I present to you a message entitled, Just Killing Time. Just Killing Time. A number of years ago, I think I used this illustration one time of my sister Kay. I didn't ask her permission for this, so I hope I'm okay. She fell out of our cherry tree when we were kids down in our Ohio farm, and I remember that. We were out picking sour cherries. It's a great big tree. She was up in the highest branches, and she was carefully and gingerly stepping from branch to branch, grasping branch in one hand and reaching for fruit in the other. But suddenly, I was down on the ground picking them off the ground, you know, or off the edges. But suddenly, the branch upon which she stood, it gave way, and everything changed really fast. Upon hearing the crack of the branch, I looked up, and what I saw was utter chaos. Get it? Careful grasping had become desperate groping, and she was falling through the branches with her back to the ground. Her legs and arms were just a blur as she was frantically groping for anything and everything to stop her plummet to the earth. Well, with lightning reflexes, I responded immediately. I bolted over there and caught Kay, rescuing her from bone-crushing death. I set her safely on the ground. Next, falling just to my right, I caught her quart basket, which had been full of cherries, about half full actually. She had flung it into the air when the branch broke. Cherries were flying everywhere up into the sky. I caught the basket in my right hand and began to catch the falling cherries in the basket, as well as with my now free left hand as they fell like raindrops from the sky. So neither Kay nor even one of Kay's cherries hit the ground that day. At least, that's how I remember it. Is that right, Kay? Is that accurate? She's getting her own dairy farm illustration out for us here. Forgot her boots, she said. Yeah, it wasn't quite like that. Actually, the memory was of this thud. But thankfully, she was okay. Just knocked the wind out of her. But my point in that, seriously, is that her chosen branch had given way. And can I ask you this morning, what's the branch upon which you really stand in your life? Will it really hold the weight, listen now, the weight of eternal purpose and meaning? Or might it give way someday as a total failure and a waste? Oh, and by the way, what fruit is it that you're trying to pick? Parents, what about your family? What about your children, if you have some today? You know, this is the struggle in America, and it's the same for me, especially when my kids were younger. We tend to embrace the same lifestyle for our kids that the culture dictates to us. So we run. We sports. After school this, after school that, weekends included, church maybe. Burning up time, burning up our kids' lives with no time left over for anything else. Is that the branch you want to stand on? Is that the branch you want to teach your children to trust the weight of their lives upon? Because everything we do, the dynamic of our lives, we're teaching in that. This is what life's all about. And I don't know about you, but I convincingly, when I look at state schools, universities today, and the mindset and the worldview that they're promoting, I don't want that brand of cooperative learning and socialization for my children to pick up. So what branch are you standing upon? Will it hold you? Will it hold your family? Because in so many ways, we are out of control, I think. And especially when it comes to our time. We say, you know, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just killing time. You know, and when you think about that, I don't know if there's a sadder statement than that. I'm killing time. Wasting time. What was that song? Who was that? Glenn Campbell? Wasting time. Anyway, just popped into my head. What happens ultimately when you're out of time? You're dead, right? When your time is out, your life is over. Our earthly time equals our earthly life. Time is life. And as followers of Christ, do we really want to kill it or waste it? Or do we want to live time rather than kill time? Ephesians 5:16 is really the jumping in point of our text today. Fascinating command. Fascinating. In the King James, it says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is amazing language. The deeper you dig in that spot, the more amazing it becomes. To redeem means to buy out and set free. It's actually a financial term in the Bible. It means to buy out of and then set free. When a Christian says, I've been redeemed, he's saying that Christ's blood bought his life out of sin and death and set him free to relate with God. We redeem the time of our earthly life when we buy out the worthless things that don't really mean anything and we free those moments for eternal significance. And that takes a ton of wisdom and a lot of discipline to redeem time. Thankfully, we have the fruit of the Spirit. The last one listed is self-control or self-discipline. But that's why Moses' prayer in Psalm 90, verse 12, he said, Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It takes wisdom to redeem time, to buy it out of waste and to set it free to eternal significance. Now, some of you will remember some of this before, but what we're going to do, we've talked about the word redeem, we're going to talk about the word time in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. Because I've always thought this fascinating. I actually preached a series on this years ago. But time, when you read your Bible and you come across the word time, which you do quite frequently, there's actually two words for the word time in the original language of the Bible, which is in the Old New Testament, the Greek language. And it's truly fascinating. The two words for time in your Bible, that if you're just reading your English Bible, you won't know this, but those two words are chronos, which you recognize, you hear it, chronology, chronogram, that's your wristwatch. Or your cell phone, you know, the time on it. That's the chronos. But the other word is kairos. There's chronos time and there's kairos time in the Bible. Now, when you think of time as we experience it, you know, when you ask, well, what time is it? You know, that kind of thing. This is the time of the calendar, the clock, the year. That's chronos. The time of the clock. But the other word for time, kairos, which is used 83 times in the New Testament, means the timing. Get this now. It's the timing of the purposes of God. It's His time. The timing of the purposes of God. Let me give you some examples of kairos time. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 6:2. The Apostle Paul writes, for he says, in the time of my favor, God said, he's quoting God here, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Which do you think is used there, chronos or kairos? That's kairos. It's the word kairos. God's not saying like, well, it's 4 p.m., it's time to get saved. That's not what he's saying. He's speaking of the timing of God's purposes and will as to salvation in a person's life. It's God's time. Here's another one where it's used. I'm just going to give you a couple. Matthew 8:29. Jesus cast the demons out of the demoniac into the pigs. You know that passage there early in Matthew? The pigs all went crazy, ran down a hill and into the lake and drowned. And the people were all ticked off about that, especially the pig farmers. And here's the guy who's healed. He's sitting there in his right mind, the scripture says. They don't care anything about that. I lost my pigs, you know. But when Jesus confronted that guy, the demon shouted, "What do you want with us, Son of God?" They shouted, "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed what? Time." That word is kairos. It's not chronos. The demons were owning the fact that they are subject to the purposes of God. They're pointing to God's purposeful plan. It's not time yet. It's not your time yet. We should be free to harass and kill and destroy. Here's another one. Some of you will recognize this passage, Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the what? The proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, read this next four words with me. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Kairos is used twice in that passage. Two times. At the proper time, the timing of God's purpose. But the other is the word opportunity. As you have opportunity, the purposes of God here are intersecting with our lives, our time, our chronos. See, God's kairos disrupts our chronos. It's very, in Scripture, it's very disruptive. Look at Moses at the burning bush. That's God's kairos intersecting and disrupting Moses' chronos. Moses tried to bring that about when he killed the Egyptian, but it wasn't kairos time yet. And he fled 40 years later. When Moses thought, it's a done deal, I'm 80 years old now, you know, he'd long forgotten about Egypt. God said, now it's time. Now it's kairos time. And he appeared in that bush, and Moses is like, no, I can't do that. That's probably what God was waiting on, for him to come to the point and realize, I can't do that. The purposes of God are intersecting with our chronos. That's what we're talking about today. Don't waste or kill time, your chronos, by missing God's time, his kairos in it. Now, that was the word kairos. Let's look at just a couple of uses real quick of the word chronos. There are 53 of these in the New Testament. So there's 83 kairos, 53 chronos. Let me show you a couple. Matthew 2:7. Remember, we're approaching the Christmas season. The Magi come seeking the King of Kings. And it's disruptive to all of Jerusalem. What's going on here? It says in Matthew 2:7, Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them, what's it say? The exact time. He's not talking about God's purpose. Herod didn't have an inkling of God's purpose in all this. He wants to know exactly what. Hey guys, when did you see that star? Was it 6 months ago, 3 months ago, a week ago? When was it? That's chronos. Another chronos usage is in Luke 4:5, when Jesus is being tempted. This is fascinating. He's being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, and it says the devil led him to a high place and showed him, what's the next three words? In an instant. The King James says, in a moment of time. The word there is chronos. So somehow in a millisecond, Satan was able to put on display before Jesus all that he'd be missing, if you will, if he followed God's will and purpose. Somehow in that millisecond of chronos time, he showed Jesus the tempting aspects of the world without God. It was chronos, not kairos, because for Jesus to worship the devil was certainly not in God's kairotic purpose. So do you see that? That's an amazing study, by the way. I mean, if you want to really interesting study. Take your time and go through the usages of Kairos and Chronos in the Bible. It's an amazing distinction between the two. Now, the question we're considering today is this: how can we bring our Chronos time in line with the purposes of God's Kairos time? If our time is just about our comfort and our covetousness and our control, and we use our time on our selfish desires, that is truly killing time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do we redeem me some time is the question. We buy it out of my Chronos. How do we buy it out and set it free for God's kairotic purposes? Now, I don't usually make lists. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a list maker. Here's 10 things to do this. Well, I made a list. Here's 10 ways that we can stop killing time. That we can redeem me some time. You ready? So, and we're gonna do some physical movements to each one of these. Okay, so join me, because the first one is wake up. So what I want you to do on three is I want you to go like you're waking up, like that. Okay, a one and a two and a three. That might be the first time some of you raised your hands in church, isn't it? Let's do it again. One, two, three. Wake up. That's the first thing. You know what I'm saying. We kind of just zombie out sometimes in life. If you're sitting here and this is just another message, just another Sunday, boring or whatever, then you're not listening. Or at least you're not hearing. You aren't believing. There's blindness and deafness that just kind of just crusts over our soul. We are speaking about the purposes of God in the world and in your life, and we don't care about that? Wake up. Wake up. A subpoint of wake up is 1A, turn off the TV. Number two, we got to stir up. If you want to redeem me some time, stir up. Everybody, like, you got a giant mixing bowl in front of you and you're stirring like this. Stir up, stir up. You know what's in the bowl? Your soul. You got to stir it up. I don't see some of you stirring out there. Come on, this will keep you from falling asleep. Now, you don't have to do it through the whole point, but you're stirring up, okay? And that's, the scripture talks about this. Listen, the prophet Isaiah looked around at idolatrous Israel in his day, and he said this in Isaiah 64. I've never forgotten this verse since Cheryl's daughter, Erin Laplander, was in youth group. There was some trip we went on, and this verse during her solo time is what she brought back to the group, and I put it on the wall when I got home. If some of you don't know, I got a wall that's just full of quotations in there. And when I get super duper discouraged, I stand in the middle of the room and I just read the wall. And the Lord just speaks to me. This is one of the verses on my wall. Because Isaiah looked around and he said, there's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth himself up to take hold of thee. Now, I don't know what this means for you, but sometimes we just got to stir ourselves up in God. You know what I'm saying? We just got to stir it up. It's time to put the apathy aside. Have you ever done this? Have you ever went through it? You get just really down and discouraged, and then you get a hold of yourself. You say, you know what? That's stupid. And you just decide that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And so I'm going to choose joy. Do you ever do that, or is that just me? It's almost like the Lord says to me sometimes, okay, Jer, I'm here, and it's time for you to get out of your funk and choose you some joy. And he, like, gives me that. He gives it to me. Here it is. Take it. And you can actually, I can't explain it to you, but there's a shifting of your soul. There's a stirring up. And sometimes we gotta do that. We gotta get a hold of ourselves and shake ourselves a little bit and stir up some Holy Spirit into that and put the apathy aside, where we prioritize and live and think as the world all the time and wonder why we're so exhausted. Refresh yourself pursuing God for a change. Hebrews 4 gives us this fantastic paradox. I remember years, in probably 20, 30 years ago, reading through Hebrews, and this verse, just the paradox of it, just, and I've never forgot it since. The writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore make every, what's the next word? Effort to enter that. What's the next word? Rest. Do you see a paradox in that? Work hard to rest. I get that. Do you get that? It's hard work to enter the rest of God. One of the hardest things for me is prayer. It is so hard for me to focus and really just connect with the Holy Spirit because my mind wants to flitter off like a butterfly onto so many other things. So make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example. He's pointing to Israel in the wilderness of disobedience. Folks, if we run after the world, we will exhaust ourselves. We do it all the time. So we need to make every effort after God in Christ, and you can refresh yourself. Stir it up. A subpoint of number two. What was the first one, by the way? Wake up. What's the second one? 2A is turn off the TV. Okay. Number three, how do we redeem me some time? Break up. I don't mean with your boyfriend, okay, or girlfriend. Young people, okay? What I mean by that is you have to willfully and intentionally break with the rut of your life. You know how we get in just the routine of things and we just kind of let the routine dictate where our boats are floating. Break up the routine. If you go home today and you do no disruption of your chronos, the rut of your chronos, there'll be no redeeming of time. You will waste just as much chronos time. You'll be busy. You'll be frantic. You'll be worried. You'll do the same thing. You'll waste just as much chronos time without any kairos as you ever did. You have to make a decision intentionally that I'm going to use my chronos time to work on my kairos time. I'm going to redeem me some time. That's breakup. So what do we got so far? Wake up, stir up, breakup is number three, is breakup. And 3A is turn off the TV. Number four, you got to change up. This is a good one. This is one I need to practice more. I had a pastor friend of mine, I don't remember where it was. I think it was at one of our conferences, but they recommended one day a month. You just go away. You go someplace else alone with God. You take the whole day and you just take your journal, take your Bible, and you pray, and you look at things. You look at life. You look at your soul. Change up. And what I mean by that is a good way to break the routine is to change location. Change the location. Sometimes when I'm struggling with a message, I'll just go someplace else instead of my messy office. I might work from home. I might go to Global Coffee and work from there. Sometimes I'll go away for a whole day just to pray and memorize and meditate. And sometimes, once in a while, even overnight, I need to do that more often. Because it's in those times when I change location and go someplace with God, just me and Him, that's when just life flows, man. It just flows, and I get excited again, and I get creative. Because the Holy Spirit just, He likes that. He likes it when you choose to be alone with Him. He gets excited too. And His excitement is contagious. And His creativity is an amazing thing. So change the geography. That's a great way to break up the routine and get alone with God. Jesus did it all the time. You know that, don't you? Luke 5:16, Jesus often, it says, withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He did this all the time. Thus, Jesus kept His Father's kairos time perfectly, and partly because He changed up and got away from the rat race. So what do we got so far? We got one is what? Wake up. Two is stir up. Three is break up. And four is change up. And then, of course, 4A, there's a subpoint to this. 4A is turn off the TV. Number five, you got to back up. And here's what I mean by that. While you get away, use that time to back up from your life and just take a look at it with the Holy Spirit. Step back from it. Look at your soul. Look at your calendar. Look at your check. Look at it all. And ask yourself some hard questions about your marriage, about your parenting, or about your soul. Some of my favorite times with the Lord is I'm not asking him for stuff. I'm asking him about stuff. I'm saying, God, how can I disciple my grandkids? Questions like that. And you know what? He answers you. He doesn't say, he doesn't write it out, he doesn't speak into my ear, but there is a conversation going on. And that's what I'm talking about, creativity, when it starts to flow. When you give God some time, he'll help you answer those questions. And it's pretty cool. And five, back up, right? Back up from your life, take a look at it. And then there's a sub-point to number five, okay? 5A, I'll call it, is turn off the TV. Okay, then we got number six. So we got wake up, right? Stir up, break up, change up, back up. And number six is make up. And this is when you've backed away, you're looking at life. Make up a plan of action as you answer some of the questions you just asked the Lord. I forget stuff all the time. I have to write stuff down or I just forget it. Even when I do write it down, I forget it sometimes. So make a plan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And even put some time to it. Goal, I'm going to do this this week. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do this next month. Or it might be, I'm going to do this once a month. I'm going to get away with the Lord once a month. And then there's a sub-point to number six, where you make up a plan of action, and the sub-point for six is 6A, and it's turn off the TV. Then we got number seven. This is the hardest one, I think. This is the hardest one for y'all. It's hard for me, too. And that's give up. And that means give up some stuff. That means say no. Everybody say it. One, two, three, no. You ready? One, two, three. That's so hard to say, isn't it? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, next time somebody from the church asks me to do something, I'm going to say, now, hey, if you need to pursue the kairos of God, then do it. But I think most of the things I need to say no to aren't necessarily related to my relationship with y'all. Give up means say no to some stuff. We can't, I just get this sense that we're exhausted. I really do. I get this sense that I've been here 20 years, and I get this sense that we're a little bit tired. And we can't just keep adding and adding and adding to life without killing ourselves spiritually and even sometimes physically. As Dallas Willard used to say, he said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And the reason we're always in a hurry and why our kairos time for God suffers is because we just a lot of times have too much going on. There's just too much. Say no, give some stuff up. I've been at this 19 years. Before that, I was in education for 15 years. I've been around a lot of teenagers. I haven't counted them up, but in all of my time, both in church, I don't work closely with the youth right now other than Pioneer Club, but I used to. In all my time down at Wayside and at Winford and up here, I have seen two high school students that said no to something that the school or the culture was demanding of them so that they could pursue the Lord. Two. Most of them say yes to everything, and their relationship with God really suffers. Two. I can give you their names. I can tell you about it. Well, I'll tell you one. One was... Courtney Stevens, when she was in youth group here. She was involved at the school, had a lot of sports and cheer and everything else. And it was demanding that she loved her leaders and the youth group and the Lord. And she recognized that it was pulling. She said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I want to be at youth group, and I want to be pursuing the Lord." She said, "No." It was amazing how encouraging that was. And the other one was a kid down at Wentford who had some real promise as a basketball. It was a basketball school at that time. I was the coach in the system, and I had this kid as a sophomore, and he had the quickest first step I've ever seen. First step meaning I got the ball, I'm squaring you up, and you're guarding me, and I'm going to blow past you to the basket on a, you know, fake and go or whatever, jab and go. And this kid had the quick, he could beat anybody in his first step to the basket. So he had a lot of promise, and I thought he was going to really help our program. And after his sophomore year, he came to our head coach, and he said, "This is really distracting me from, it's demanding so much of me, so much time, and so much mental effort." He said, I'm compromising my relationship with the Lord. He told our head coach this. He said, I can't do it. I can't. That's more important. And he quit the team. It was amazing. I almost thought about trying to talk him out of it. he was that good. But anyway, I respected that. Give up. That's number seven. And seven has a sub-point to it, too, that we got to touch on. 7A. Okay, you ready? You might want to write this down. Turn off your TV. And number eight, we're almost done. There are 10 of these. Store up. Store up. And I can honestly say for this one, I've seen the Lord do more. I just have memories of when I was memorizing scripture in my life purposefully, taking it with me, had cards and stuff tucked in every pocket. And if I had a few minutes spare time in study hall or at the end of my class where the kids were working, I would just get that out and start chewing and memorizing it. Memorizing scripture is what I'm talking about. Store up. If you'll make that a regular part of your Kairos plan, pursuing the purposes of God in your life, because I'll tell you this, when God works, he works through his word. He does. He works through his word. In Psalm 119:11, he says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So store up is a great way to redeem you some time. And then 8A has a sub-point to it, too, that you might want to take note of. And it goes like this. Turn off the TV. And then number 9 is a good one. Number 9 is meet up. And what I'm talking about there is meet up with another believer or two on a regular basis to encourage each other in the Lord. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16 says that Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Isn't that cool? That's when David was being pursued by Jonathan's father. He helped him find strength in God. I got a small group right now. We've had 6 regulars. We got a few other people that are coming in, but we've had 6, and we've seen God do some amazing things in there, haven't we? It's been cool. I think only one meeting in the past maybe 4 months, I thought, was like, ooh, that was stale. You know, it was just kind of stale. But the rest of them have been fantastic. Nothing, you know, well, some huge things, but just so encouraging, so alive, just makes me feel alive in the Lord with these folks. It's just been a cool thing. Folks, a big part of God's kairotic purposes for your life has to do with other believers, amen? It just does. And I know we're scared of one another and all that. Well, fear's not a very good motivator. So we're called to make disciples And you can't disciple alone. And God calls us to others like he is in himself, a community. So if you want to quit wasting time, killing time, then meet up with others and build Christ into them and let them strengthen you and God. So meet up, number 9. And there's a sub point in number 9 too. And that 9A is turn off the TV. Number 10, last one, speak up. And that's this, speak up, share Christ. Share Christ. Speak of Christ to other people, other believers. Unbelievers too, but believers. I mean, approach your daily time in the Word, if you have such a thing, and just say, God, show me something in here I can share with somebody else. Hey, I read this verse. John 11:35 this morning. It's really cool. Jesus wept. That'll start a conversation at work. Maybe not. I don't know. But speak up. Share Christ. Learn from him and share what you learn. You can at least share a scripture that meant something to you, even if you don't understand everything about it. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a scholar. You just have to be courageous enough to care that Jesus gets the notice that he deserves in this world. So that's it. Review them with me, will you? What's 1? Wake up. What's 2? Stir up. And 3? Break up. And 4? And 5? Back up. And 6? Make up. Is that it? Okay. 7? 8? 9? And 10? Right. And then 10. There's a sub point to number 10. Yeah. That 10 has its own sub point. Yeah. Turn off the TV. I just want to close from Ephesians 5. That's where we find this verse, redeeming the time. But I just want to read it to you, to that and to the end of the chapter. You'll recognize a lot of this. This is from the NIV. I'll start at 15. Paul writes, by the way, in 14, he says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. That's redeeming the times, the time in the King James, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. The word for foolish here means stupid. Don't be stupid. I don't know, some reason I like that. Every time I read that verse, I tell everybody, it means don't be stupid, you know? Because I guess that's language I can relate to. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And there's certainly a cultural context to that, but we'll leave that for another time. Instead of that, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of that, be filled with the Spirit. And of course, we've talked about that a lot of times. It means whenever, it's now. It's one of those Greek tenses that we don't necessarily have in English. Be filled whenever, it's now. We talk about present time Christ consciousness. That's my PTCC verse right there. Present time Christ. Are you present time Christ? Are you thinking of Jesus right now? That he's right there. His Spirit is with you. That he has your attention. Give him yours right now as you listen to the Word. It shouldn't be hard to do because you've been listening to the Word. Be filled with the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to tell you this is what that looks like, to be filled with the Spirit. He gives you 4 things that are indicative of a Spirit-filled person. 19, here's the first one. Speak to one another in this manner, with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Spirit-filled people speak of Jesus. They just speak in ways that non-spirit-filled people don't. And they do it with a singing kind of quality. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. There's a joint excitement about life there. So speak to one another. Spirit-filled people sing. They have this joy, this music in their life almost. And number 20, they are thankful. always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. There's just a gratitude about them. They see God and his beauty and blessing in everything. And then, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then verse 21, which kicks into the passage about wives and husbands and the church and all that beautiful stuff. Verse 21, the fourth quality is submission. Spirit-filled people aren't the ones that, oh yeah, well, I disagree with you, and this is the way it should be. They would rather submit than see the body of Christ disunified or disrupted and in conflict. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Speak to one another in a certain way. You sing, there's gratitude and there's submission. Those four qualities point back to the verb in verse 18 of the command to be filled with the Spirit. So there's our verse right there, tucked in all that beautiful stuff. Redeeming the time. Making the most of every opportunity. So I just want to encourage you to think about that and respond to it and redeem you some time this week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the practicality of this and even as I had to confess that I didn't feel prepared today because my own heart is divided between two needs, two places, two things going on. It's the same thing. I'm just grateful that you know that we are just dust. You have compassion on us. We are blinded to eternal spiritual truth, except when you rescue us, you begin to remove the scales from our eyes. And if we will pursue you, we will see your kairotic purpose above and beyond the frantic epizeteo of our chronos lives. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes to your glory and to your desire to be known by people who are lost and harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Help us not to live that way. Like sheep without a shepherd, fearful, frantic, running hither and yon. That's the chronos. That's the culture that the world holds out to us. This is the way to live. It's not. There's a better way that lasts forever. And may we be wise and disciplined to experience your kairotic purpose to disrupt our chronos lives. In Jesus' name.